Now we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of our salvation and uphold us with the willing spirit. Amen. Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that He is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To Him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. You'll look with me to the insert. It is a separate reading from Psalm 139. Let us call each to worship, you responding with bold print. O Lord, you have searched me out and known me.
You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You mark out my journeys and my resting place and are acquainted with all my ways.
For there is not a word on my tongue, but you, O Lord, know them all.
You encompass me behind and before and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, so high.
Where can I go then from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?
If I climb up to heaven, you are there. If I make my grave my bed, you are there also.
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea,
even there, your hand shall lead me.
If I say, surely the darkness will cover me, and the light around me turn to night,
even darkness is no darkness to you. The light is the spirit of the day. The darkness and light to you are both alike.
For you yourself created my inmost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I thank you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, which my soul knows well.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes beheld my form, as yet unfinished. Already in your book were all my members written.
As day by day they were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them.
How many of your counsels to me, O God? How great is the sum of them?
Thank you.
through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there was very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin and put breath in you. You shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds of breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are deep cut off. Therefore prophesy, say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord.
To be counted in the upper room. We want to be counted among those who are in the upper room, waiting, contrite of heart, singing together, and unanimous in prayer. We want to be counted among those who are ardently desiring that on this day of Pentecost, friends, I hope that you are also yearning that the burning flame of the Spirit of God descend upon you, us upon me, that both our hearts, all of our hearts, be entirely burned and thus purified, free from anger, hatred, and passion, free from ill will, jealousy, and envy, free from transgression, criticism, and gossip, free from malice, animosity, and grudges. Lord, here are our knees, our hearts, and our tears. So here we will wait that with your Holy Spirit, you will light our lives through your glorious grace that in Christ Jesus transforms us from the power of darkness and into the kingdom of light and that eternal. And as your children, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second reading comes from Acts 2:1-21. When the day of Pentecost arrived, the apostles were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as the fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own tongue. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and descendants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongue the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But others mocking said, They are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. You give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you supposed, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of the Lord.
God.
Ascended on high, and at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, in gratefulness produced by the descended Spirit, we give you praise, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 15, 26 and 27, and 16, 4 through 15. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated.
David, you not only had a long couple scriptures, but there were some tough words in there. And I think you were dead on with all the pronunciation of all of them. So, well done. My hidden Hebraic and Greek scholar. We'll remember that. What a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Beautiful day. It's always a joy. And there's nothing sweeter, as Jeremiah would say, than to hear the words of the Lord. We receive them, and I hope that you will pray with me that we will taste His word and find it sweet. Our gracious God, thank you for the truth of your promise. Part of the sweetness is that we know that it is real and true, solid. Part of the reasons why we find comfort and strength in that which we received and hand on, or to use the word in shorthand, tradition, is that we know that these celebrations, these remembrances are not new with us. We're not here because of our creative genius, our highly skilled ability to design that which might tickle the senses, but rather we are just here to hear and participate in that very old and true message that the God we served and His strong arm of love and grace is never exceeded in its length, and the depths of the cisterns and pits that we need His descending. We thank you that where we go, you are. From the beginning of our existence, when we were knitted by your wisdom, to the final breath we take and step into glory, we are never outside of your care and presence. And we thank you that that extends to all. So we pray that through your Spirit we would believe and find comfort in the truthfulness of your word. Limit mine to point only to yours. We would see Jesus and Him alone. We pray in His name. Amen. I appreciate hearing not only prayer requests, but I appreciate hearing points of joy. And it's a testimony that God is good. It's a testimony that life has some really high points, even in the midst of the difficulties. But it's also a testimony, if you're somewhat like me, that it's just a good reminder that prayer, I hate to put it this way, but prayer accomplishes things. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous is efficacious. And we need those reminders. Or we just think if we don't have those reminders, it just, if we're honest, prayer can just sort of be just another form of griping. We just sort of complain about what's going on, and if we never hear that God's gracious hand works things, it can truly be miraculous, fortuitous, a joy. It's a good reminder. And we see that with Pentecost, because of all the things that Pentecost is, one of the chief things that Pentecost is, and I tipped my hand last week when we looked at in John 17 of that high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed on the eve of His betrayal, that Holy Thursday, and He prayed for the glory of God to descend upon His church. He prayed that He would keep His people together, that He would give them joy, that He would protect them, that He would give them righteousness. And I told you last week that His prayer was going to be immediately answered. 50 days later, in that great event of Pentecost. Acts 2 is God's answer to Jesus' prayer. And we sometimes miss answers to prayer, don't we? We want, I can only speak of me, but sometimes I pray, and my prayer, even though I'm bowing the knee and confessing with my tongue and my eyes are closed, and I use proper language, basically what I want God to do is be an order taker. For I've already determined what I want, and I'm just giving the Almighty the privilege to hear my requests and respond accordingly. And if the answer comes in a different way, I may miss it. It's like that old story that I know you've heard, but I'm going to tell it anyway, about the man in Louisiana that was, the floods came, and a neighbor came in his big Chevy 2500 to give him a ride out of the water, and he said, "No, that's, I don't need you. I've prayed to the Lord. He will rescue me." The waters continue to rise, and he's on his roof, and someone comes by in a rowboat and offers assistance, and he said, "No, thank you, but I've prayed to the Lord. He will deliver me. Thank you anyway." The waters continue to rise, and he's standing on top of his chimney, and a helicopter comes, and with the PA says, "Grab the rope. I'll bring you to safety." And he said, "No, thank you. I'm trusting the Lord. He will deliver me." The waters rise, and he drowns. And at the pearly gates, he's quite perturbed. "I trusted you. I prayed. I was devout. And you let me die." And God said, "I sent you a boat, a truck, and a helicopter. What more did you want?" What more do we want? We pray. And somehow in our doubt, when God doesn't answer the way I envision, I think, well, the answer must have been no, or he may not have heard, or maybe, and this may be the worst of all, maybe he doesn't like me well enough. Maybe there's this forgiveness stuff is just something he says because he has to say it, but he really doesn't bless me the way he blesses others. And what we see with Pentecost above all things is that the prayer of Jesus Christ was answered fully in this event called Pentecost. Pentecost is that celebration that the Jews had of 50 days. They would get together and they would celebrate the harvest. And what we see in the sort of the Christian version of that is we get together and we celebrate the harvest of all souls. It is often distracted from by sometimes in the church, the emphasis on Pentecost has been more on the mode of communication and not on the message. Often, the whole emphasis about Pentecost has been more on speaking in tongues, to be quite blunt, and those more elaborate gifts. And we, on my side of the fence, I guess you could say, we do an equal disservice when we seek to avoid the discussion at all because we don't want to be lumped into another side of the fence. But the truth of the matter is, the real miracle in Acts 2 at Pentecost is not the speaking in tongues. It's the message that's delivered. I hope you've heard some good sermons and speeches. I hope through the years you've heard things said by Billy Graham and other preachers, maybe by statesmen, maybe by others, and you've been just moved by God with what you heard delivered. I hope that your fascination was more on the message than it was on the PA system. For the PA system is just the means by which the message is communicated. And what we're going to see in this passage of Acts 2, speaking in tongues, which actually the miracle was in hearing, not the speaking, was just the mode through whom God gets a message to the people. The people are astonished, and let me tell you why. I think there are four things we see in Pentecost that speaks to us about how God works, for He does work decisively. And the first thing that God we see is that only God can do this. The whole point in the Old Covenant and in the New Covenant of the festival of Pentecost, the festival of the harvest, is we praise God because He's the only one that can do it. I often wonder, if we don't understand this, why we say table grace. I often wonder if you don't believe in a heavenly Father who's graciously working, who do you thank on Thanksgiving? I mean, if you deny the presence of a supreme and sovereign God who's in a gracious and loving way providing, who do you thank? I think the best you can do is come up with this sort of innocuous general sense of gratitude, which is really fairly shallow, because if I'm thankful, I've got to be thankful to someone from whom I've received blessings. And the Pentecost is first and foremost this coming together to say, if there is life, if there is harvest, God only can do it. It's the promise of the Father we're told to wait on. We see this from the creation. If you open up Genesis, you'll see in creation that the earth was formless and void. And you know the story. Before life could come out of that chaos, what had to happen? The Holy Spirit descended. And the Holy Spirit moved. And God did it. And life came. We see it again on the womb of the Virgin Mary. Having never known a man, being no ability from any human source to bring about life, we're told again, life came from that virgin womb, but before life came, God had to descend, and the Spirit had to move, and out of that, God did it, and life came. We also, when we look in the mirror, know that to be true. God came, as John Wesley said, on our cold hearts, and they were strangely warmed over. And life came. Because God did it. We confess that when we come together and read simple words, receive bread and wine, and the Spirit comes. And real life. See, Pentecost is a day in one way, but it's more than that. It's a day that began in Acts 2. But it didn't end. Like the Sabbath day that had no ending, Pentecost didn't end at the sunset. It was in Acts 2. Then we see in Acts 10, Pentecost came to the Gentiles. And then we see that Pentecost continues to come as God works in and through you and me. Turn to Acts 29, verse 6, if you have your passage. Acts 29. I love playing tricks. Some of you are looking, and those of you who aren't looking can say, yeah, I knew it all along. There is no Acts 29. Acts ended at 20, but in one real way. The continuation of the church throughout the history of time is Acts 29. God has continued. You knew it all along, didn't you, Larry? That's why you didn't look. The church has continued to be the recipient of God doing it. Just this week, we've seen things done that, humanly speaking, couldn't be done. We've seen things come together, lives changed, things where we thought it was the end of the road, and new life comes. And we gather, not just on Pentecost, but every day, and we give thanks to God and God alone, because only God can do it. Only God can do it. We need to be careful when we think that we help the Almighty along. There's a long history in the Scripture and in life that when you or me, like Nebuchadnezzar, might be thinking, you know, I'm really a benefit to the Almighty. I'm helping Him a great deal. We wind up metaphorically and sometimes literally chewing grass like a cow. We're humbled, and life just has this way that when we fail to remember from whom all blessings flow. When we fail to remember that only God can do it, we miss the blessings of the promise of the Father. But the second thing we see in Pentecost is not only God is the only one that can do it, God does it in a way that we get it. Aren't you grateful for that? How many of you have had people in your life, professors, teachers, people that you knew that they had a lot of wisdom to bestow, but they made you work for it? You had to try to figure it out. They made it difficult. Aren't you grateful that when God presents His truth, aren't you grateful that when God comes to you in His grace, He puts the cookies on the bottom shelf? He doesn't make us work for it. He doesn't make us figure out some convoluted formula. We don't have to descend some mountain. We don't have to live in some aesthetic way to warrant His coming to. It shows right clearly. He spoke and everyone heard in their natural hearing. On that day of Pentecost, you didn't have to go out of your way to hear the message. God came to you in the way you could hear. And God works that way. He comes to all of us, to every nation, to every race. We read, or had David read to us, not only did He come to all these nations that form metaphorically a circle, implying the whole world was touched, but He came to the old, and He came to the young. He came to the male, and He came to the female. He came to the wise. He came to the servant. He comes to all of us in a way we can hear. I'm grateful that God didn't make the way of salvation one that only PhDs in theology could understand. I'm grateful that you don't need Pharisees and priests. And this was the whole teaching of the Reformation. A plowboy or a maid in a broom can understand it. Just put the real Word of God in their hands and they get it. God comes to us where we are. There was nothing new that the Reformer said, because wasn't it my boss who said something about, unless you become like a child? God doesn't come to us in intellectual formulas and difficult ways. Salvation is free and easy. Not for Christ, but for us. It's presented as gospel. Now the truth is, the third thing is, while God comes to us at our level, outsiders don't get it. They don't get it. I mean, we see in Acts 2, they had an easy solution to what was going on. Guys are just snockered. They're drunk. That's what's going on. And we see that happening still now when people seek to dismiss. They'll do anything in the world other than to say, I guess God worked a miracle. The original test must have been faulty. Maybe it was a spontaneous remission. Maybe something quirky happened. Well, I just think it's a whole lot easier and eternally safer to say, God worked. God worked. Whether I understand it or not, I must confess, if I get the first point, that if good happens, God did it. For we read in James that every good gift comes from above. So if there's good in my life, whether I can understand how it got there, whether I can understand it or not, I trust. I trust. Cynicism and nihilism, it's just a totally despairing way to live. It might make one feel intellectually sound that they're denying everything so they're never disappointed. But I would rather live and believe in faith and trust than I would to think, well, I figured it out, and have a cynicism that prevents me from really getting and missing what's going, God's going on. One of the saddest passages in the Old Testament is one who is head and shoulders, literally, we're told, above everyone else. Taller, stronger, better looking, more polished, more powerful. It says that the Spirit of the Lord had left him and he was not even aware. A.W. Tozer, a Christian Missionary Alliance gentleman, said that the saddest state of the church today is that the Holy Spirit could be removed today and most churches would continue to function just like they have. We are doing supernatural stuff. We are not here to manufacture in a way that we create it. We are here to have God meet us in ways that we cannot explain. I've had people say, well, do you think children can understand and come to the table? And the truth of the matter is, no, children can't understand. And guess who else can't understand it? People that have been studying this stuff for 40 or 50 years. And if you think you understand grace, as soon as you think you understand it, you don't. You've done what Paul says in Romans 1 and 2. You've traded the knowledge of the creature for the glory of the Creator. And this grace is either amazing and beyond my comprehension, thanks be to God, or it's not God's grace. And then the final thing. Not only does God do it, not only does He do it in a way that everyone can get it at their level, not only is it true that outsiders don't get it and seek to dismiss it, at the end of the day, the gospel, Christ, gets all the credit. In other words, Jesus prayed in John 17, and you know what the answer to Jesus' prayer was? Himself. Jesus is always the answer. That sounds simplistic, but didn't Jesus say again on that night before he was betrayed, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the answer to every prayer. Jesus is the answer. And the Holy Spirit's role is to remind us what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit doesn't point to Himself. As we've heard in the Gospel, the Holy Spirit points to Jesus. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer. And when we believe His promise, and we're inspired by the Holy Spirit to see the goodness of His promise, we can see some real dry bones that look long dead come back together, can't we? We see that which is impossible. But brothers and sisters, that which is impossible to God, to man, is fully possible to God. That's the message of Pentecost. Do you believe that? Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith together, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated.
You join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with me.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God surprises, your Spirit rooted over the waters at creation and lived among your chosen people in wilderness, exile, and promised land. Your Spirit filled Mary's womb at the moment of Jesus' conception and came upon him like a dove at his baptism. When Christ died on the cross, your power raised him from the tomb on the third day. And that same evening, he breathed your forgiving grace, on those who had deserted him. On the day of Pentecost, you sent your Spirit upon the fearful disciples, filling them with fire, with power, with wonder, and joy, and making them your church. And so we gladly thank you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
God of comfort and strength, we look to your Holy Spirit to be with us in sorrow and in contentment, in crisis and in abiding stillness. Come among us now through the power of your Spirit, that we may be transformed into the image of your Son. That these gifts of bread and of wine may become for us the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and having given you thanks, he blessed it and distributed it to them, saying, "Take this and drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again."
God of dreams and prophecy, send down upon us your gifts of wisdom, knowledge, and faith, of healing, discernment, and interpretation, that your church may be built up in the likeness of your Son. Let everyone who is hungry find in you the bread of life, and anyone who is thirsty find in you rivers of living water. Speak your word to all who are alone and in fear or despair. Let each one of your children hear your voice in their own language, whether that language be art or science, work or play. Sanctify your groaning creation, that your universe may breathe your breath and be filled with your life anew, that we may love what you love and do what you do. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever one God.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Heaven came down, incarnate, through the precious body of our Lord and Savior. This is his table. He comes to us. He comes to you. And as it is his table, we invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to partake together. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. His blood shed for the remission of sins, and from his side, new creation was created for all who believe. The fruit of the vine, the blood of the new covenant, the gift of our Savior. Drink ye all of it. Our closing prayer is from the great doctor of the church, Augustine, from the 4th century. His prayer for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Join with me in this prayer. Holy Spirit, powerful consoler, sacred bond of the Father and the Son, hope of the afflicted,
descend into my heart and establish it in your loving dominion. Enkindle in my tepid soul the fire of your love so that I may be wholly subject to you. We believe that when you dwell in us, you also prepare a dwelling for the Father and the Son. Deign therefore to come to me, consoler of abandoned souls and protector of the needy. Help the afflicted, strengthen the weak, support the wavering. Come and purify me. Let no evil desire take possession of me. You love the humble and resist the proud. Come to me, glory of the living and hope of the dying. Lead me by your grace, that I may always be pleasing to your word, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Blessing heard at both the Old and New Covenant Day of Pentecost. Those words that were originally given through Aaron and then given to all of us. Those blessed words. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. God bless. The service is over. Go in peace to serve the Lord.